Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offer, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-ALL for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Welcome to Webcology. Webcology is the show that takes you into the deepest and darkest ends of the ecosystem on the internet. Our guides will take you on a journey into web marketing and bring you the experts and the information so that you can further explore the web marketing world. Now, here are the hosts of Webcology, Jim Hedger and Dave Davies.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Webcology on webmasterradio.fm. It's the 4th of June, 2020. Week 12 of declared global COVID-19 pandemic. And perhaps one of the most... I don't even have the right word for it. One of the most upsetting, disturbing, shaking weeks in living memory. The kind of national or international events that would replace 9/11 as a milestone in the history of the American nation. It's said that the only wrong thing to say is to say nothing. And knowing the right thing to say is so very hard to say. Black Lives Matter. The senseless deaths that just continue and continue and continue and continue and continue and continue have to stop. This has been a week of horror and a week in which it looks as if America survived an attempted coup from its own executive administration. It's the most frightening time, and at the same time everything feels so terribly, terrifyingly, mind-numbingly normal. This is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media and Dave Davies from Beanstalk Internet Marketing. And I gave that pause, Dave, because I want to give you the respect to say I'm speaking for myself here, and I hope in many ways I'm expressing what you're feeling, but I don't presume to speak for you here.
I think it's fair to say you speak for, I don't know, everybody who's listening.
Thank you. It's a terribly emotional and very difficult subject to address. I want to call the only, you know what, I want to call on our listeners, the probably the wisest group of people I can think of right now, this exact moment in time, to please call us. We try to do a completely transparent, open show. We try to be not only not racist, we try to be anti-racist in our show. And in what we say and what we think and how we promote ideas. And I am willing to bet that sometimes we make mistakes and sometimes we fall short and sometimes we disappoint our audience. And if we do, I want our audience to tell us about it and call us on it. And that's the deal that we want to make with you, the audience. If we come out, or our guests come out and misrepresent information, say something racist, or if we don't live up to the expectation of our own ideals, the only people who can actually call us on it besides ourselves are you. And that's, I think what we have to do for each of us, have to have the guts and the backbone to call each other and to really, really work to build a better society. And this is the last thing I'm going to say, but I just saw this, this political cartoon, and it showed, it's almost like a rock of Sisyphus sort of thing. We're at the bottom of a very tall hill, and we're finally, maybe finally, because I've been here before, it feels like, but we're finally recognizing racism in our society, in our institutions, in our systems. But that doesn't mean we've changed it. It means we're recognizing it. We got a lot of work to do, mostly on ourselves. Each of us as individuals. In our businesses, ourselves, the way we deal with each other, the way we process information, the biases we bring to conversations, the biases we bring to our political engagement. We got a lot of work to do on America and Canada and Britain and anyone who's listening to these words. And we can. That's the neat thing about being human. We can. We've gone to the moon. We will go to Mars, very possibly in my lifetime. We can change ourselves. We can do this. Okay, that's that. Now, we are in the middle of a social crisis. We're in the middle of a pandemic. And it's due to thunk that there might be a story that could actually be as big as the social crisis, at least in the search marketing world, a story as big as the social crisis and as big as COVID. Again, we live in a very small, narrow world. SEMrush, SEMrush, say it ain't so. I had a headline here: the new Mueller inquiry. So. Dave, you actually had the screen open. You were reading to me from before we get to air. What they have up there right now? Do you want to read this one?
I remember when I first saw it, I didn't call them out. Like, this is just one of those, like, you don't talk about Fight Club kind of moments for me. I was like, oh, but at the same time, it was a little bit of a cringe to see it on their site. And for folks wondering what's going on, and they're just getting raked across the coals for this one. And Alan Blywise was the first person that I saw mentioning it. But you know, now you sent me a link to John over on Twitter. Basically, they have posted up this. They being SEMrush. Have posted up a page, and it's really, really clear that you're posting the link that you want, like the URL you want to link to and the anchor text. That's all you have to give them. And then magically a blog post appears somewhere, right? Like with this anchor text, it's very, very clear what you're purchasing there. Right.
And like you're purchasing. That's the key word here is you're purchasing.
You're purchasing. You're purchasing a link. There's no editorial. There's no PR. There's no, you know, you can make some decent arguments in a few other cases that are pretty boring. Like, we've all seen them, right? Like, they're pretty borderline, you know, into the gray and, you know, moving into the, is this a paid link? Is it not? Where it's like, okay, but you're putting in the work. You're providing. You know, the content you're providing, the value, and we've all done that, right? Like I'm subscribed to Harrow, and I'll often like take the time to provide some feedback for something in hopes of getting a link, right? Like, and I view time is money, right? Like, so basically I'm taking something that I assign a monetary value to and I'm giving it away in hopes of getting a link. So, you know, there's some borderline cases, but that I think we can all agree sort of, okay, that escapes under the radar. But when you go, okay, you give me your the anchor text you want to link to, and then give me the URL you want to link to, and then give me some money, and I will make sure that this exists, and you don't have to worry about the context of what's talking around it. It's very clear you're not purchasing PR. You're not purchasing anything other than a link. And SEMrush got caught with their hand in the cookie jar. I'm so really quite surprised somebody over there didn't catch that faster and go, you know, that's a bad idea. They're launching into a lot of unique things right now. They're doing a lot of great things over there. Like, I'm just, I'm really impressed with some of the stuff they're doing. And this was just, they took it too far. I can see in the rest of their tool set and some of the evolutions of things that they're trying to grow to cover a lot of ground and do a lot of things. And they're actually managing to pull off doing a lot of things really, really well. But there are certain areas that just shouldn't be done. So don't try and do those ones and be that marketplace, right? Like, they've added content development. You can get that done there, right? And like, do we totally get it? Absolutely makes perfect sense. If I want somebody to like write a blog post for my blog and I'm willing to pay them to, absolutely no problem. But you cross that line and somebody there should have seen that one. They wanted to be all things, but didn't stop and think, should we? And I think that was their big, big problem. No, they shouldn't. That service shouldn't exist. Now, so
covering this story is, well, it's not hard because it's what we're supposed to do. This is our job. It's our role in the industry. But then, and in one sense, it's a very bitter, it's a hard thing to cover because SEMrush is stepping up and doing so much in the industry right now. Some of the best information sessions that have been happening in the last 12 weeks in lockdown, who's behind them? That's the SEMrush team. What was it? 5 hours of EAT, 5 hours of content optimization. Those were both. That's 10 hours of great content from the SEMrush teams. But this is happening. This happened. SEMrush. And when you're at SEO, the whole process is running really close to the line the whole time. You're running close to keel. And SEMrush sort of jumped over that slide here, and that
they did
serious repercussions.
It's interesting because the tweet that I saw that you had sent through that John's responding to, I thought, okay, if they'd stuck with that, they were riding that line, but I think they would have had plausible deniability, right? Then, like, when you look at it, it's like 1,000 words, and the traffic of the site is this. Okay, smart. Right. Like, but then when you go through to the order, all you need is a URL and anchor. And I'm like, okay, now you've taken plausible deniability off the table. Right. Like,
and so but here's the thing. When you want to say, I didn't do nothing wrong, the first thing you do is don't make it look like you did something wrong.
But, well, that's a handy route to go. Yeah.
So, SEMrush, just a pro tip from somebody who's been known to be a scoundrel sometimes in his life. Trust me on this one. Don't delete things that make you look bad, because that makes you look worse, because this is the internet and people don't forget. Like, the internet doesn't forget. When John Mueller saw an exchange between an SEMrush customer and SEMrush, and piped in saying, hey, yo, this is like purchase links, this is an artificial blog network. And so SEMrush, first thing they did was delete the tweet from their feed, as if Twitter didn't exist in a gajillion other places right just over there. Like, okay. And it took them a while to get around to pausing. And I'm quoting straight off a tweet they sent out early this morning. We are pausing the test of our guest blog editorial/placement service, which will require more time to implement given the volume of orders received and our commitment of excellence. The service is about content development and editorial coordination. We do not pay publishers for placed articles and not selling links. and there's an okay, got it button you can click to make the message go away. And again, I just have to just say, if you're caught doing something kind of, you know, shady, don't make it look shadier. That's just a law to scoundrelism.
Yeah. You know what? And I feel, you know what? Cause I'm a marketer, right? And like, I watch this stuff all the time. And you know, you do, I do, we all know people over at these companies. Right. And I'm just like, oh, I feel sorry for, cause I know the person that has to deal with the fallout.
Yeah.
Like, cause I've watched this, I've watched social media managers, right? Like I'm married to one who does it for companies, and I watch it and go, oh, and I know who has to take the flak here, right? Like I know who's bearing the brunt of what's going on. And this was like a call made by other people. So as SEOs, folks, if you're going to like rant on stuff, hopefully try and remember that the person that you're ranting to, and this goes with this person or any company you're ranting to on social media, the person you're probably ranting to isn't the person that made the decision. And there's a lot of really, really great people over there. They made a misstep. Who among us has not made a stupid decision with our companies, right? Like all of us. All of us had. They made a big one. Jim, you're totally right. They should not have. They should have handled it differently.
Yep.
I got to say, they were probably under stress.
Yeah.
You know, in dealing with this. And like, because I can imagine there's like the person passing the message and they're taking flack from up above and the tech team doesn't know what to do. Right, like you got like a bunch of moving parts going on. I feel sorry for them, but it should. I hope they come out with a better sort of message and go, yeah, that was dumb. Right, like just call a spade, bad call. We shouldn't have done it.
What was it? 6 months ago, we had Olga on, one of their spokespersons.
Yeah,
and it was a great, challenging, fun conversation. Like, Olga is an extraordinary PR person. That was a great interview, and seriously, she knows what she's doing when she's being interviewed. That was so much fun. You were on with Andy Bernard just like 2 weeks ago, right?
Yeah.
So we did if you're on the phone with Semrush or you're complaining to them via social, remember these are our colleagues and our friends, and yeah, like Dave said, they stepped in it. They screwed up. They made a mistake. They overstepped in a significant way. But again, these are our friends and colleagues. Like, you got a beef with them. You got a right to have a beef, but be cool.
Yeah. Well, indeed. And something, and you know what, since we're on this sort of tangent, something I try and remember whenever I'm dealing with companies and like the social media people at companies, which happens a lot, right? Like I fall prey to it. I'm like, okay, I'm going to like rant on, you know, against this airline on Twitter or something. And it's like, yeah, that person answering the question, they're going to be following a very specific set of guidelines, right? Like even if you are ranting, even if you are like dealing with a human, that human may or may not actually, they may want to help you and be unable, right? Like they may agree with you and this is their job. That's not what they're going to say, right? They didn't create the problem. They're here to fix it. So you're right. And let's all, like, I'm not even just talking about SEMrush here. Like I'm feeling sorry for social media people who have to deal with this flack all the time. So, and they have to deal with people like me.
Well, and especially after the 3 months that we've had in the last 2 weeks, the last 10 days that in major American cities, be kind.
Yeah.
Because people are hurting and they're stressed. And again, I want to reiterate, if you're talking to the folks at Semrush, you're talking to your colleagues.
Yep.
This is just a hard enough game right now without hurting each other too badly. Eh? Okay, where do we go next? We got a couple minutes before we got to take a break. It's funny, almost any story we touch on has these huge implications we can talk on.
Yeah, hours. I know. I'm sort of like looking through the stories. So I'm like, yeah, those are all rabbit holes. Well, you know what? Maybe we should just jump to a commercial a couple minutes ahead of time, and then we can like just totally fall down those rabbit holes.
Yeah, let's do that. Okay, so friends, you are listening to Webcology on webmasterradio.fm. It is the 4th of June, 2023. 2020, week 12 of COVID lockdown. On behalf of Dave Davies from Beanstalk Internet Marketing, this is Jim Hedger from Joey's Media. Stick around, Webcology. We got a lot more coming up after these messages. Well, yeah, we see we gave him lots of warning and everything.
Sit tight and don't move. Webcology will be back after this short break. For maximum customer engagement and retention, choose CleverTap. CleverTap is a leading customer engagement and retention platform that helps digital brands maximize lifetime value. Over 8,000 apps around the world, including Vodafone, Star, and Sony, trust CleverTap to improve user engagement, boost retention, and fuel long-term revenue growth. Learn more at clevertap.com. That's clevertap.com.
Are you looking for the best in WordPress speed, security, and scalability? WP Engine is a digital experience platform for WordPress, powering digital experiences for large brands around the world. With easy-to-use site management tools and powerful do-it-your-way development features, WP Engine gives you the flexibility to build it your way. Improve your SEO and conversion rates with a faster site on WP Engine. Learn more on WPEngine.com.
Only on WebmasterRadio.fm. Here are the hosts, Jim Hedger and Dave Davies.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Webcology on WebmasterRadio.fm. It is the 4th of June, 2020. It's Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media and Dave Davies from Inside Internet Marketing. And apologies to studio. I am so sorry. We snuck a break in there on you a couple seconds early. The reason we had to do that is we got stuff to cover, and it's going to take moments at least to cover any one of these things. Let's stick with the topic that is so front of mind because it's right there on our streets. The disturbances that have been happening in across America. There has been a good deal of purposeful misinformation being published on Facebook about the situations on the streets, or about the administration's reaction to it. Now, the President of the United States, Donald Trump, has been using social media as almost like a replacement for the traditional American free press. Instead of communicating with the public via the media, the president has been communicating with the public via social media. And not everything politicians say is true. That's the case for virtually every politician, no matter who that politician is. But in the case of Donald Trump, that truism seems to be particularly true. Not everything President Trump says is true. In fact, quite frequently, his statements, his accusations are in fact admissions of guilt himself, but he's just throwing the stuff at somebody else. And he's been using social media to do exactly that. Now, watching how the various social media have dealt with the administration purposefully misleading the American public is a study in, in interpretations of the First Amendment and feelings of responsibility to the concept of free speech. In one case, the Twitter empire God, it's like covering a sports match, I swear. In one case, Twitter is has taken a very hard line. They will not let misstatements, especially statements that promote violence or promote racism, they're not going to let them stand any longer, and they're going to flag them. And they did that a number of times. And in fact, they started doing that last week, and it was a subject of conversation on this very show last week. Facebook, on the other hand, has taken pretty much the exact opposite stance and is not in any way flagging the president's posts when they are misleading. And that has angered a bunch of current and former Facebook employees. And well, first we'll start off with the former employees. Former Facebook employees have launched a campaign to try to reach Zuckerberg, including taking an ad in the New York Times today, explaining their position and why they feel Mark Zuckerberg's decision to allow the president to use Facebook as a platform in ways that the other social media platforms won't let him go. So yesterday, Zuckerberg has a conversation with Facebook employees, and he didn't hit the right notes with many employees, and so the entire transcript of the conversation got leaked. Vox has published it. There's so much to go through and so much to unpack. We're not able to on this show. We're not going to be able to. But it does give a really good overview of Facebook's policies about state violence, what Facebook is going to do moving forward, where Mark Zuckerberg is coming from, and most importantly, that Zuckerberg himself is not settled on his response and appears open to suggestion. Now, Dave, this is I'm sorry. I just took a whole bunch of time, and I basically lined you up to give an opinion, and you should not have to. So I want to give you an out. If you feel you got to give an opinion here, please, you don't got, like, because this sucks, eh?
I mean, you know me well enough. I have an opinion on virtually every subject.
Go for it.
And I mean, you know what, I'm going to be full disclosure to folks listening. I have not had a chance to read the full document. I've gone through bits and pieces of it, and I understand the gist of what's been said. And I have, well, of course, just listened to you and so on, but I have not had a chance to read from top to bottom. A little light reading. It's a long one, right? Like as you pointed out, right? But it will make my list. Actually, I'm thinking already from what I've read of it, of doing a blog post sort of highlighting, right, for people like me, right, sort of highlighting things anyway.
Well, please do. This should get out there.
What I understand the tough spot that people are in, and there's actually some interesting points that are brought up by Facebook employees against Zuckerberg. I do understand the difficult decision. And I also understand the bias that I bring to this, right? And you know my bias. And I mean, I'm mm-hmm. sure most of our listeners, I try and keep politics for the most part out, but this isn't the time for that. You know, I mean, my bias tends to be a little, I consider myself pretty centralist by global standpoints, but in the context of this conversation, I'm probably pretty left. You know, in the way that I lean on civil rights and things like that. So, I mean, when we hit scenarios like this, my bias is based on, I'm constantly hearing you are too, Twitter's getting flack for it. And you get this, like, well, on the left, and they're pulling out, you know, the liberals are like biasing media and pulling out, and they control all the media. And, you know, my instinct is to just go, yeah, this is capitalism. If they were the smart people who bought all the, like, platforms, that's your problem. Build your own platform and capitalism will win, right? Like, just, you know, buck up and that's the way of things. That's my instinctive sort of thought process. But at the same time, as a capitalist, you know, and I'm a marketer, the belly of the beast of capitalism, and I do really like capitalism. You know, when we're actually looking at the scenario that people are in right now, we have to consider the fact that legally, and this is like There's ethical and then there's legal, and there are responsibilities being placed on Mark Zuckerberg that I think are unique in that Mark has a legal, we're good buddies, so I'm just going to call him Mark. Mark has a legal responsibility to his shareholders, a legal, right? Like that is to maximize profits for Facebook. That is a legal responsibility he has. And then there is an ethical responsibility that I'm sure he feels to do right in the world. Right. I don't think.
Well, hold up. Before you go further, wouldn't Dorsey have the same responsibility at Twitter?
Yeah, I think so.
You're not suggesting that the legal fiduciary responsibility, if you produce a machine that pays a dollar every time the president tells a lie to shareholders, it gives every shareholder a dollar every time the president lies. You're not trying to say that you have a responsibility to ramp that machine up to give the shareholders more money and make the president lie even more, are you?
No, and fortunately there are catch-alls in that system that would protect against that, right? I mean, heck, there's just lawsuits, right? Like you would be protected, right? Like you would reasonably be going, we can't do that. So there are built-in thresholds, right? Which is great. I mean, heck, we should have had this conversation last week because we had a lawyer on who I'm sure could talk about this indeed a lot more eloquently than I am, right? And this might
By the way, I just want to remind you, the lawyer was on because the president was freaking out and trying to find ways to punish the various social media we're talking about because they were saying you can't lie.
Yeah. Well, and this is like, in my world, there aren't alternative facts, right? Like there are just facts, right? Like something is or is not a fact, right? So I don't tend to allow for like, you can call an opinion fact. You can't. Like it doesn't work that way.
You can call it an opinion. Can quote facts. Opinions that can easily quote facts, but they themselves are not facts.
They are not facts. So if you are listing something that is known to not be a fact and actually known to contradict fact, then you need to be called out on it. I don't care who you are. This is right. I mean, I've seen like just BS being thrown out on both sides, and I don't like either one of it. One of those happens to be in power, though. And that's the conversation that we're having right now, right? Like it leads to what responsibility do they have, right? And where does opinion, you know, turn into fact? I am thankful for these sort of catch-alls. I naturally, you know, going sort of back to my leanings, I naturally don't necessarily like what I see going on. Basically, I like Twitter's stance on things, and it is pretty agnostic, like it or politically agnostic. I'm referring to, yeah, right? Like it or not, it just is like they're not removing anything. They're just going, you know, we think this is false. Well, you know what? Fox News covers Biden, and you know what I hear them do? I hear them go, yeah, we covered that. I think it's false. And I shouldn't say. I mean, as much as I may not care personally for Fox News. That's not a, you know, that's
no, but you've seen, you opinion have seen them cover, yeah, news in that way.
They cover news in that way. And that is entirely, I do not think they should be forced to not. I think that is their right as their network to go, yeah, and we think Biden's full of crap. I may disagree, right? But then I will just watch a different station, right? Or I will read, I mean, I lean to Reuters because it's the most neutral that I found. So I go to that one. But, you know, so I do like Twitter's take. I don't really like Mark's take on things. Again, we're good buddies, so I can call him Mark, and he knows I don't like it, like his take on stuff. But at the same time, I do understand the challenges that he is probably facing in the fiduciary responsibilities of things, that these are legal obligations, and the court cases would be coming at him if he did end up hindering things. Now, it may not be as evolved as I am thinking it is there. I don't know what his net, they'll have a lot more information about their demographics than I have, and like what's going to happen if they do things.
Here's the whole thing. I don't think any of that can matter. I don't care about how much money he's making every time somebody clicks something outrageous for Trump says it, because Trump is saying things that put people's lives in danger. You know, there is a test of free speech that phrases yelling fire in a crowded movie theater.
Yes.
Well, it's almost like the president has been yelling start a fire in a very combustible environment. And he can say whatever he wants. Not only is he a free citizen of the United States of America, he's also the president of the United States of America. But the media in which he is using to say this does have a right, and I would suggest has the responsibility to fact check and to make the facts available to the audience to whom the president is addressing. And that balances it out. The president retains the right to free speech. No one's stopping the president from saying the sky is purple.
Right.
And that you need to take razor blades and slice your aorta to cure yourself of COVID. No one is stopping the president from saying that. But Facebook has a responsibility to say, if you take a razor blade and slice your aorta, you will probably die. I would think.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and I get your take. And there is no, this is one of those where I'm going, there is no fact that I have. There will be, again, it'd be awesome to have a lawyer on right now who could go, no, Dave, you're full of crap because I'm not a lawyer.
Like, I can tell you straight up, don't cut your aorta with a razor blade.
Well, yes, on the medical standpoint, I'm not a doctor, but I'll trust you, Jim. You seem to be more an authority than I am on this one.
On this one, I don't.
You clearly have a stronger.
I've played with razor blades. Oh, with them.
But yeah, it's definitely. I naturally do sort of feel for people placed in that spot, but end of days. I would like to think in his spot, I would do what's just ethically right and find a way to make that work if there are the legal issues that may be faced that I don't know about. And I look at you bring up a good point of, you know, Twitter and Facebook would face the same backlash, but their audiences are going to be different. So what would that do to them economically? Well, I don't really know.
Who owns Snapchat? Honestly, this is an honest question. Like,
yeah,
I could go look it up, but I'm not sure myself. Does Snapchat own themselves or are they owned by Facebook? Anyway, Snapchat came out earlier today and said there is absolutely no way they are going to promote Trump's tweets in their discovery tab. They'll still, you know, Trump will still put his information out and Snapchat will still allow their network to be used to push that information out to whatever audience reads it, but it ain't going in their discovery tab, in their featured content section. And that, of course, brought a accusation of stifling democracy and electoral interference from the White House this morning. Anyway, that's up. That's all the stuff is going on in the environment we call home. I'm pretty sure. You know what? I'm pretty sure we're done with politics. One more piece, because this is important to everybody who works the search marketing industry. Lego. Tell me, of all the toys you have in your house, and I know you guys got board games, you got toys, tell me that the Lego isn't among the most important stuff.
Big bin of it. Yeah.
I know. Hey, it's so much fun. So everyone loves Lego. Everyone loves the Lego movies. Everyone you just get happy thinking about Lego until you step on it. Lego in its statement around Black Lives Matter and around the specter of police brutality against persons of color in the United States and around the world, has decided that it's going to pull all of its advertising for police-related toys and donate $4 million to fight racism and inequality. But it's decided to pull back on glorifying policing until police departments come to terms with overzealous application of force in interaction with the public. Or, okay, let's just say it straight up, with the racist killing of people when interacting with the public. To see Lego take a stand like that and a whole bunch of other companies. I've incidentally recorded or have copied statements from companies like SEO Clarity. Their CEO, Mattel Gandhi, wrote this beautiful statement on diversity and on how tech is global inclusive. Sarah Bird, CEO of Moz. It's simply not enough to do no harm or not be racist. We have to create a just world that requires us to be loudly and unceasingly anti-racist. That's Sarah Bird, CEO of Moz. There's been a bunch of great statements that have come out of the industry, a bunch of heartwarming and affirming statements coming out of the industry. I believe everyone who's made them. Absolutely believe everyone who's made them, and I challenge everyone who's made them to make them true, make them so, make them happen. And the thing with Lego, I mean, like, that's going to cover because I like saying, just saying the word Lego puts a smile on my face. Like, yeah. I can see the video, Dave, you're smiling. Just hearing the word Lego puts a smile on your face. Yeah. Okay, now I got to put a smile on Darren's face. You know what I did to Darren earlier today? Got him in chat, and I'm like, just to screw with them. I'm like, Darren, you know what's going on in the world. And I showed him some of the stories we're covering. So do we got a lawyer? It's the thing I left for him. And I haven't replied to him since. So I figure I owe him this, okay?
All right.
Friends, we got to take a commercial break here on webmasterradio.fm. So on behalf of Dave Davies from VSOC Internet Marketing, this is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media. You are listening to Webcology on the WMR-FM Podcast Network. Stick around. We got more content coming up after this.
Sit tight and don't move. Webcology will be back after this short break.
Here's the truth you need to know about podcasting. The biggest problem you face right now as a future podcaster is the myth that it takes an enormous amount of time or effort to produce a high-quality professional podcast. Luckily for you, there's a solution to your problem. If you're an online marketer who really needs to grow an audience of buyers but can't do all the heavy lifting alone, then here's the solution you're looking for. Introducing the DFY Podcasting System. Here's what you get. 30 minutes of one-on-one training. A weekly podcast for you or your company. Distribution to almost every podcast portal. An embeddable player for your website. An ebook called How to Podcast, created for WMR.FM show hosts. And much, much more. And best of all, you'll start seeing results with the DFY podcast system within a couple of weeks. You're just one podcast away from growing brand awareness and engagement in your business. Log on to podcast.wmr.fm and sign up for a deeply discounted rate today. That's podcast.wmr.fm.
Only on WebmasterRadio.fm. Here are the hosts, Jim Hedger and Dave Davies.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Webcology on WebmasterRadio.fm. It is the 4th of June, 2020. It's Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media, Dave Davies from VSOC Internet Marketing. And I guess we're never going to get the rest of the show to actual SEO stuff. Dave, have you seen the new Bing Webmaster Link tool?
I am literally in it right now. Like, I actually had it up on one of my other.
All right, on. What do you think?
Doing some like looking around. I like it. Like, obviously, I like it. There's always some shortcomings in any data, which is data, right? Like, you just got to base stuff on crawlers. And in some elements, I still prefer for single domain stuff. I prefer the way that Google treats them. Treats links, for example. Bing isn't great for, you took this domain, you moved it over here, those links should actually still be counted in the new location, sort of side of things. Are not awesome for that, but that is an aside. That's just my personal, like, the way they handle things, but I like it. Like, it just gives you like a nice ability to just go, okay, let's look at like some of the source. It's actually a little too much information as far as I'm concerned.
It's not Majestic. It's not giving you the depth of information say Majestic will.
No. That's very true. But their crawlers are much more robust. Right, like their crawlers are better than Majestic's. That's fair.
No offense,
Microsoft,
to Majestic,
not Majestic, right? Like, Majestic has fine crawlers, Ahrefs fine crawlers, right? Like, I mean, these link tools do a fantastic job. but Microsoft has more money. that's just the way of it.
And incidentally, you can get the same information out of Search Console as you can get in this new Bing Webmaster Tools link report. But Bing puts it all in one place and makes it way easier to get together.
Yeah. And that's what I love. Like, it's like, oh, okay, here's a side by side. You know, and you can order them by your domains and see where the overlap is. Again, stuff that we've already had access to, right, through other tools. I mean, a great example. I just like to sort of go, here's a couple tools that do kind of the same thing, so I'm not favoring one or the other. And Ahrefs does basically the same kind of thing where you can look at the overlaps and stuff. And in fact, they do it better, right? But that's not what this report is built to do. It's built to give you an idea for a layperson, not an SEO, right? SEOs have tools already to do this stuff. I think it's, I obviously like it. Right. I like data. And what I like about this too is that it does put, I've said it before and I'll say it again, Big Webmaster Tools is awesome and it is the unsung hero of tools, and especially among small business owners. Right. This is a free tool that gives you lots and lots of information that, as an SEO, I can get some of it from other tools, but I still go to Bing Webmaster Tools because it does provide some great data. And to me, this is a nice free, we're talking about paid tools, but site owners can just get access to this for free. And they don't get that data, right, from Majestic. So
this might sound dumb and petty for me. The stuff for me that makes a tool successful in my eyes, does it save me the microseconds it takes to alt tab between screens to look over from one screen to the other screen?
Yeah.
If you put it all in one place, and save me the trouble of having to look here, look there, look here, look there, and then compile that information, that you've won. You've probably, if you save me microseconds, you save me hours over time. And that I love the way Microsoft is dealing with ordering information.
Yeah, you're right. And it's funny, I was actually just, and I can click here and go through. And just the way, their UX is or the UI, I guess, is a better way to word it, is
good. So much faster. Yeah. Seriously. And instead of having to open this tab, then open this, and then open that, and now you've got the answer that Microsoft gave you on one screen. Okay, what else do we got here?
But before we dive in, I just want to remind people, while you're all rushing over to try this tool that we're talking about, for goodness sake, look at the left nav and start to work your way through the other stuff that's over there. So many people just don't even think of Bing Webmaster Tools, and they should. It is awesome. It is superior to Search Console, in my opinion, from the data it gives you. Not, we all need Search Console. It's Google. That's the behemoth, right? But when you just want site health data, I do find that the Bing Webmaster Tools just provides insights that you just can't get from Search Console.
Absolutely agreed. 62% of SEOs agree that Google May 2020 core update sucked. I'm paraphrasing. I think Barry used a slightly longer word, stank, but I'm going with sucked. Barry Swartz put out a poll on the 26th of May. He got 1,313 votes, so it's a fairly representative poll, I would suggest. Question, did Google's May 2020 core update have a positive or negative impact on overall search quality? Positive, 19%, negative. 62.5%, same, no quality change whatsoever, 18.6%. So more people felt it had an effect one way or another than felt that nothing happened. And the vast majority felt it was negative. Interesting.
What I am taking from that data, and it's interesting because there's you need to interpret data. And so I'm just going to round those numbers just for easier math. But I'm going to take that 19 and I'm going to turn it into 20, because then I can take that 62.5 and turn it into 60. And so what I am taking from that is people who are negatively impacted by an update are three times more likely to be vocal. That's actually what I take from that piece of data. It's a zero sum, right? And we all love to pat ourselves on the back when we see things go up. I looked, a lot of our clients did well, or just sort of skated through. And so my interpretation of that update is, as a global truth, the search results must be better. That's my bias based on the fact that I like when my clients are doing well, right? Like it has nothing to do with, you know, what I might see. And in fact, I had posted very recently, speaking of SEMrush, an SEMrush article ranking really, really well. And I had looked up corporation schema, and on Bing, they had the schema ranking number one. On Google, they had an SEMrush post written by Jason Bernard. Fantastic post. I read it ages ago. Great post, but clearly not what I was like. I'm looking up corporation schema. I'm not looking up an article on Bing. Schema should rank number one. Like, then should come in, you know, maybe opinion pieces. So, you know, I just list that as an example of maybe Google's still not hitting the nail on the head, but my interpretation is that it's great because I saw a bunch of little green arrows pointing up on ranking reports, right? So I suspect a lot of that is just the bias of people complain.
One thing I was going to note, and again, this is preliminary. This is just being said because Dave said something that lit a light bulb in my head. So, like, audience, when you hear this, like, it's just, you know, this is what SEOs do. We have theories, we put them out there, and we see what happens when other people test them. But like, sites that I've been tracking that have made good use of schema are doing better after this than regular sites and some of the more run-of-the-mill websites, some of the more run-of-the-mill WordPress sites. I'm seeing results, good results from the last update as well, but I'm seeing weirder results. It's not straight page, like text page results. I'm seeing different types of media being surfaced higher in the search results. Images, particularly.
I did notice a fluctuation on SERP feature changes, and it's interesting because a number of weeks, probably about a month ago, I actually added in a few clients of a competitor, right? Like a search competitor. I don't really view them as a direct, you know, service-based competitor, but where I respected what they were doing, and I'm like, okay, I need to monitor this. And their clients are, and I'm going to wait for more data, and I'm happy to sort of talk about them and pull one of their folks on. But their clients are doing well through this, and it actually ties in. You made me think of that. It actually ties into what you're saying, and that could be why there's an interpretation of, and it could actually be a fact, of a reduction in the value of search, is if they are putting more weight on the technical SEO, that can be a problem. I do lean pretty heavily on technical stuff, like schema and entity information and that sort of thing. So yeah, logically I would like this, and I would look at like the search results and go, And my queries tend to rely on that sort of information. I go, what entities would be on a page? Like, I just search that way. So
like, seriously, in the next week, just keep your mind open to that idea and see what you think as you go along. I'd be interested in hearing what you think next week.
Yeah. I'll report back on that
how do those objects surface? How does Google know to grab this and this to meet this query?
Yeah.
How do they know it's on? How do they know it's there? Because you're informing them through schema.
Yeah.
Especially, I saw this smart ass comment in one of the, after Rusty Bricks or after Barry's poll, the 20% of people who think that the search results are better are all Pinterest employees. Because Pinterest's doing good. Okay, we got 3 minutes to go. What do you got? Do you have any story that just has to get out there?
I mean, that have to, but one of the things that I should note and pay attention, it is locking into exactly what you're talking about here. We are seeing a bunch of different featured snippet changes. Right. And they're all tying to this. And after the update, I did notice, and it's funny, I'd never mentioned it before, but The tools that I use for ranking reports are also tracking, of course, which SERP features exist. And I had seen a bunch of big changes there. And we are seeing a bunch of launch outs right now on what, on which features, the way they're laying out, things like that, where they're jumping to different points on a page, something we'd only seen to AMP, right? Like they're now jumping people further down pages. I'm seeing some odd things in URLs, URL structures built into the links that I haven't actually figured out. So I'll keep looking into that and report back next week. But the actual URL structure that they're linking within sites is changing a little bit, which is weird. But yeah, clearly at the end of the day, if you're a site owner or an SEO, one of the things that I'm going to be watching really, really closely right now, based on a few things that they're doing in the sort of featured snippets and SERP feature spaces, pay attention, because there's opportunities that are about to change there. And we've talked about this before on our show, is the opportunities are going to be different. It makes sense. It's what they want, that this update changed how they read things like schema, as we were talking about, right? Like that's a great sort of lock in. And that explains why a lot of what we're seeing win is the technical side and the entity part is there. That's what these SERP features are going to be sort of catering to. It makes sense that they're adjusting them now. And so clearly they're going to push stronger into that, stronger into voice, and pay attention, because there's going to be opportunities there to rank without having to push yourself up into the top three blue links.
Now, again, home listeners or people listening in the audience, they're like, don't screw with stuff just because we told you to. Screw with stuff because you think it's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's our warning. That's our note of caution to you. Don't screw with it because we said to. Screw with it because it's fun. And that way you can't blame us.
That's exactly right.
Okay, you know what? We've gone full clock. It is top of the hour, so we're about to get the gotta go music. So it's been, you know what? I'm glad we were able to end the show on a higher note than we went into it with, because it's been a brutal, brutal week, and it's going to be a continual brutal week. So friends, stay safe, stay smart, consume information and share information responsibly. Double check stuff before you share it on Twitter or on Facebook, and stay healthy, wear a face mask, don't touch your face, rank well. We'll talk to you next week.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of webmasterradio.fm's management or sponsors.
Wow.
Any rebroadcast or redistribution
without authorized consent
of webmasterradio.fm is prohibited.